Now continue the lesson we took with us for practice during the week, which many of you may have forgotten, about resting in oneness so that you lived in an uninterrupted state of oneness. As one new person came into your life, you transferred your conscious awareness of Christ from yourself to that individual so that you still lived in the one self. Now that's what we're doing at this moment. We're trying to know that though there are 40 or 50 forms present here, that only your invisible self is present here, and that's the realization of oneness to maintain. So that as you turn from one friend to another, you're never changing your conscious awareness, that one invisible self of each individual. Wherever I go, only the one invisible self is present. This is the one body of Christ. The importance of this cannot be overstressed. Whoever attains the ability to rest consciously in the one invisible self, regardless of what they're doing, will find the law of grace is the law of everything they're doing. You can't put in too much time on this. There's no sacrifice too great. To consciously know that though I speak to male or female, I am speaking to the one invisible self. Always to turn from that you see before you to the next one who comes before you, but never really to turn. It's always the invisible self of you. And that invisible self of you is always the invisible self of the friend you greeted or the enemy who stood before you. There is only that invisible self. You must claim it and live in it consciously. This is all part of the pathway to the sanctification. And so we should be, even when we listen to a talk, even when we go to a theater, no matter what we do, always, we never step out of the realization that one invisible self is where all of the forms appear to be. And that invisible self I always accept to be my only self. All of this is your silent work. It's almost the same as world work. The knowledge of the one infinite invisible self as yourself. When you are sanctified, nothing happens to you, for you are always the Son of God. The sanctification mentioned here is a revelation that God individualizes as your selfhood. Even before you come into form, the selfhood of God is your individualization. The revelation of that is the sanctification. The acceptance of it is the preparation for the realization of it. Neither pray I for these alone, just these handful, just these 11. Neither pray I just for the 11 qualities of God in the midst of me, but for all qualities to be brought up to their fullness in my consciousness. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. The word in you is Christ, through your word. Your belief in the Christ of you brings you into the same oneness and sanctification as the disciples in the time of Jesus. This is the preparation so that your knowledge of Christ in you is automatically your knowledge of Christ in those you will meet that day. And so I, Christ, pray or prepare the way. The harmony of Christ in you becomes the harmony of your relationships as you accept your one invisible self, not as a limited invisible self where you stand, but as the one infinite invisible self. Yourself being everywhere, that acceptance brings into play Christ going before you, preparing the way. As the form moves in the visible, the invisible everywhere, Christ's self of you accepted prepares the way in every other form that will be in association with you. We do not drop our realization of oneness for a second. We do not step out of life, for that is life. And the more you're conscious of it, the more you'll discover you have found that dimension which was lacking in all your previous years. The missing dimension was my conscious awareness that I am the one invisible self of the universe. And it doesn't matter where I turn, it is still I, functioning, present, and perfect, and always the only power. That is how you realize oneness. And that oneness manifests as the grace of the Father in your presence. That they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The repetition of thou hast sent me again and again and again. For you to know that only Christ is sent. Only Christ is of the Father. That which is sent of the Father is Christ, and only Christ. Only the invisible self of spirit is sent. And if you're not in contact with that invisible self of spirit, you're not in contact with that which is of the Father. You're separated. We're learning to worship God within ourselves as our very own selfhood. And that God is invisible, incorporeal. And I, that Son of God, am invisible, incorporeal, without boundaries, without visible form, without visible shape, without visible substance. You're taking yourself out of the body image and resting in your infinity. And we could learn to do this to the degree that we're more at home in our invisible infinity than in a body image. That we may all be one. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Christ, which is one with the Father, says, you are one with the Father, for I have given you that glory, meaning I am Christ in you. You are assured that Christ is in you, for you have that glory. It says, I have given them that glory. Christ in you is an established truth of your being. Now, we don't want to ignore these words which are beyond our own mind level, but come to us from the Christ mind level, because they are the eyes we need to take us beyond our own horizons. we do not know that we are one invisible body, but we are told it by the Christ. And so we follow the Christ, which means we accept. We are one invisible body, but we're not another body. We're not a second body. We are one invisible body. And when you drop the awareness of that, you're back in a second body, which is not a body, which is not sustained. That's why the organs of our body can go wrong. They're separated from the one invisible body. They're not controlled by God. They're controlled by the world mind. But when you're in your one invisible body in consciousness, you find even the organs of your body are no longer controlled by the world mind. They are controlled by God. The power of your spiritual selfhood controls the organs of your body. When you are not accepting yourself to be that very body in which those organs can be controlled by the Spirit, you must step out of the belief of it. Realization of oneness now is revealed to be a conscious attitude, a way of life lived in until it becomes an old shoe, a way that you're accustomed to, not something new or shocking or something you heard about and you're going to try someday, but something you're doing all the time and always holding the thread of oneness, that I am that invisible self, while you're shaking hands with a prospect, while you're saying to the butcher, I'll have 2 pounds of that, while you're saying to the delivery man, thank you for this. Always, the words that are coming out of your mouth are not what your consciousness is saying within you. You're saying, I am the invisible self of every individual I shake hands with or talk to or address in any way. I am that one. That one I am that is everywhere. I will not let go of that oneness. And that one is invisible spirit. That one is the Christ. That one is the child of God, one with the Father. And that one I am everywhere, no matter what forms come into my consciousness visibly. Never dropping that thread of the one builds your awareness, sensitivity, consciousness, until finally the essence itself is realized. And that's the substance or the fabric of all things. That essence realized can give you all the forms that you will ever need. Out of the infinite reservoir of spirit. And they will pour forth in profusion. They will move mountains. They can do anything required if you are in invisible oneness with the selfhood of God everywhere. No longer divided. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Always, he who is called Jesus Christ emphasizes that he is not the exception, that the power he demonstrates is the universal power in everyone. That thou hast loved me as thou hast, that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The universal nature of sonship is stressed, so you can never make the mistake of religion in worshiping Jesus Christ as the one and only Son of God. That is a tragic error. And it is equally a tragic error to assume that a mortal being is going to become an immortal one, or that a material being is going to become a spiritual being. We are being told that the Father loves us, and the Father has said, "Cease ye from man." The Father has said, "I am no respecter of persons." The Father doesn't love a mortal being. The Father loves you because you are his son. And his son is an immortal being now. When you're told the Father loves you, you are being told you are the Son of God again in another way. And you'll find that hidden in all of the words is the constant reiteration that you are my son. When you take that to heart, all human heredity is thrown out the window. That's why Jesus had to overcome the sense of human heredity. I am the Son of God. And for lifetime after lifetime, man has been saying, "I am not the Son of God." And he's been suffering for it. And this handful who can come to the realization, "But I am what they say I am," will not suffer for it, but will accept divine heredity as the fact of life now. And with it, all that divine heredity embraces. The Father's life passed on to you as your life doesn't include susceptibility to any problems on this earth. And your problems, therefore, are based on the false assumption that you are not the child of God. The correction in consciousness practice shows that all evil in the world is impossible. Evil is not here. The Son of God is here. That is the glory of the Father in you, in your oneness. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may know, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the Father. Now when the Christ says, "Father, I wouldst that they be with me where I am," this is the will of God expressing. The will of God expressing, as Christ says, "I want you to be where Christ Jesus is." That's the will of God expressing. And you either fulfill that will and you're in the rhythm of spirit, or you refuse to, through ignorance or otherwise. And if you are to be where Jesus Christ is, it doesn't mean tomorrow. The Son of God is where Jesus Christ is now. There's only one way you can be where I am. I am in the kingdom of God. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. I, Christ, am in the kingdom of God. And I will that you be with me in the kingdom of God. Now you try to enter the kingdom of God in that form that you call your body. You cannot be with Christ in that form. I will that they be with me where I am. You can only enter the kingdom of God by relinquishing the belief in the form. And the will of the Father is that you do just that, for there's no other way for you to be where Christ is, out of the form concept. Now, if you're not in the form and are in the kingdom of God where Christ is, it's because that is who you are. That is who the Son of God is. You see how you're getting ready for Gethsemane? If you're in the kingdom of God, out of the form, can you be in Gethsemane too? Gethsemane is a place. You can find it on the map. It's a physical place. But Father, I will that they be with me where I am. He had previously said, I am not in the world. Pretty soon there's no one where you are to be in Gethsemane. That's your preparation for it. You withdraw from the physical sense of life as you build the spiritual awareness of identity. That they may behold my glory. To behold the glory of Christ is to behold the glory of your own being, as incorporeal, invisible, eternal self. And it's all about now. Behind the atom, behind the world, behind the images of the mind. He's taking us into the realization that you can and must learn how to step out of the mind universe. The universe of the mind is this world. The universe of the kingdom of God is all that is here where the mind sees this world. And only the Son of God in you is no longer dominated by this world. This is a now possibility and soon becomes a now must. Righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. There's a world of meaning behind that. Righteous Father, the world has not known thee. God, the world has not known thee. God is life. The world has not known life. He's saying the world is dead. And the world says God is dead. The world has not known God. The world has not known life. Religion has not known God. Mankind has not known God. You see the meaning of raise the dead? Those who do not know God do not know life, and they are dead. And to raise the dead is to lift us into the knowledge of life, into the knowledge of God. And that knowledge is that I am the Son of God. Then I know life. I know the Father. To know the God aright is to know the Son, which is God in you. God in you is the Son of God. And you can only know God aright through knowing God in you, which is the Son of God or Christ. That's why it is said that only through Christ can you know God. The world has not known thee, but I have known thee. I, Christ, have known thee. And when you know Christ in yourself, you are coming alive. You are stepping out of death into life. You are stepping out of mortality. To walk in your invisible self is coming alive. I have known thee. These have known thee, that thou hast sent me. Again, Christ is sent. You must know Christ to know God. You must know Christ in you to know God. You must know the Son of God is your name. And then you know God in you, which is Christ. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Christ will continue to declare it through you. I will continue to declare thy name. The name of God is Christ in you. The name of God is your identity. The individualization of God in you, Christ, is the name that Christ declares all the time and will continue to declare it. So that as you come into your acceptance and you're living in the invisible self, you will show forth the fruits which are the declaration. That is the continuation of declaring it. You will declare it. I, Christ in you, through the fruitage of your living in your invisible selfhood, continue to declare to the world my presence. And so the 17th chapter is over. It is the preparation that everyone goes through to come to the realization of self, that self which now, when you realize it, enables you to walk out into your Gethsemane, where you are ready to surrender your total humanhood. The supreme trial of saying, I am ready to give up humanhood, mortality, the dying self, the dying form, and live in the living form, the living self, the living kingdom. That's Gethsemane. All of this is preparation for the moment of total surrender, where you become a human sacrifice to accept your divine being. That's why we don't give away bulls and goats, or pigeons, or tithes, or make promises, or little sacrifices. The only sacrifice is the sacrifice of the human selfhood. Few that be who enter that straight gate. And so the way shower is about to do just that. And the disciples are going to make many mistakes in that process. And that's where we're going to learn how we too, faced with similar circumstances as they, would react pretty much the same. And through their errors, we can correct our own potential errors and eventually come into the full acceptance, the full spiritual maturity of being immaculately conceived and never otherwise. We are drawing all our inner disciples now together to come to a place of wholeness, where I can say I am the Son of God and there are no human remnants. This is my name. And then for you, Gethsemane is your next step. Now, your Gethsemane won't be next Sunday. It might not happen in this lifetime for some. It might be 5 years ahead for others. It really is an everyday event. Every day is Gethsemane if you're living as the Son of God. Every day you're proving that you need no defense in this universe except your own identity. And so Gethsemane actually is the daily experience of trusting your identity to be self-sustained. You've started, and now we will reach a climax in this understanding of the self-sustaining Son of God that I am, who needs no outer assistance. All flows forth from the very web of your being. Again this week, deepen your conscious awareness that I will maintain the thread of one invisible self in every personal relationship throughout the day. Telephone won't surprise me into finding Mary on the line. It's the one self I'll be talking to, even if it wants to call itself Mary. And the doorbell won't surprise me. The only one who's going to be there is the invisible oneself. And everything you do, everywhere you go, hold on to your invisible oneself as the only identity there. Don't lose the thread of oneness. You'll find it very valuable in the final realization that I am the living Son. He promised them heaven if they would follow him. They followed him. And now he's taking them into his own apparent death in Gethsemane. But you know he promised them heaven. The turn of events is most amazing. It is the way to heaven. The complete annihilation of the human concept of life. Now we are all the one this minute. No matter where you go, how much distance seems to separate us, we will still be that one. And that will always be the fact of your life. No matter where you go, no matter whom you seem to be separated from, or whom you seem to be with, only the invisible one will be your name forever. That is your eternal and only self. That is the reason, through Christ Jesus, we are told, call no man your father, but be ye perfect as your father. The one invisible self. This is where the consciousness must rest. So, as we were told at the beginning, we were today discussing the preparation for Gethsemane. Oneself. You might again look at chapter 11. We're not going to do it next week. We're going right into Gethsemane. There are some things in it that might help you in the realization of oneness in chapter 11. We'll go into chapter 18 in John this coming Sunday. Thank you.